Welcome to Listen to Your Mom podcast. We are so excited to relate to all you basic, bougie, and badass moms. We're here with open thoughts, feelings, and minds. Whether you are a mom, have a mom, want to be a mom, even if you're just missing your mom, girl, we got you. We're moms, and we know exactly what we're talking about.
Wait, do we though?
Hey everyone, this is Listen to Your Mom podcast. I'm Lauren.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Laura.
And this week we're drinking bread and butter. It's a red wine.
It was on sale.
Super yummy. I think we're going to just start out this little episode with something we like to call bragging rights or timeout mommy. So my timeout mommy this week is I completely forgot that Kennedy did not have preschool today, and I got her all ready and set for the bus, and Josh went out with her and then realized that she didn't have preschool.
How long did they stand outside?
Well, so usually the bus picks her up around like 11:45 because class starts at noon. And it was noon and Josh was like, I'm just going to drive her because the bus isn't coming. And then I looked at my email and I was like, oh, wait.
It's at least close. You realized it before he, like, got in the car and got
They were, like, literally you're about to jump in the car and, like, drive there. So I was working from home, and then I was actually, like, about to take a shower to get ready to go to an appointment, and then I looked at my email, like, right before I jumped in the shower. So lucked out there.
Well, I mean, it's bragging rights. You got her ready for the day.
Yeah, I mean, we actually got dressed for the day on a Tuesday.
That's something.
Yeah. I remember my bragging rights, and it is that our house is finally clean, and, like, last night was the first night that I didn't have, like, any chores to do.
Ooh, that's always a plus.
Since our wedding, was August 29th. So it's been a while of just, like, catching up. And
today,
like,
is November 10th, y'all.
Today is November 10th. But last night I was like, oh my gosh. And I got to sit down and watch the Michael Jordan documentary after putting Charlotte to bed. And it felt...
Was it good?
Oh, it's really good. No, it's like a whole season. So highly recommend it. But yeah, that's my bragging rights is...
Finally, huge.
I know, but now I'm like, well, now we have to put up the Christmas lights and decorate for Christmas. Yeah. You know, it's always the next thing.
It's starting all over, but a whole different season of things.
Yeah, but I'm calling it a win.
My house is never clean.
And I'm a very intense, this weekend when I was cleaning the bathroom, it was like unscrewing the shower drain to like use Q-tips to get the gross stuff in the shower.
I have those moments.
So yes. That's why it takes me so long, and I'm catching up from August 29th because I'm literally really particular about the way things are cleaned.
What's your bragging rights or timeout, mommy Emily?
So Marin related. She learned how to blow a kiss to me, which is good.
That's the best.
So that was super awesome. And then we also had a super productive Saturday. So by 8 in the morning, we had, like, mowed, raked our lawn, had cleaned out our garage, done our yard work, and it was amazing.
You guys are so interesting.
Well, like, our child got up at 5 and went down for a nap, like, super early because she was not ready to be awake. It was a really, like, long day after that.
I can't remember when it was that we were over and we were talking about, like, your guys' morning routines. And Trevor's like, I can't sleep past 7. I'm like, oh, I can.
Very easily. As for me, my kid, Houston can't open the door quite yet. So, like, if he's up, I'm like... He can stay in there for another 15.
That's so great. He can't open the door?
Yeah, he can't open the door yet. Kennedy can, but...
That's a skill we taught Charlotte. But my mom, as soon as we taught her, she's like, you're going to regret that one. Like, you should not teach them.
Well, I feel like it's kind of concerning at this point because Kennedy knew how I feel like at, like, 18 months, so...
So,
I'm like, maybe we should teach him. But I also don't want to.
My cousin, to get their kids to stay in their room or in bed... Until a certain time, they had a alarm clock, like a digital one, and they would cover up all the other numbers, and they told them they had to see, like, a 7 as the number before they were allowed to leave their room. And, like, whether that meant they would play in their room or go back to sleep, like, it didn't matter. They just couldn't leave their room until...
Yeah, or, like, the colors. Like, if they're not old enough for, like, recognizing numbers or whatever.
Yeah.
They do, like, when it turns green... That means it's time to get out. But Charlotte would be like, don't care.
I know. Yeah.
So I want to talk about what else you did, Emily. just quick. I know that this is, we're making this really long. Yeah, you said it was really productive, so you got up early.
Gosh. Well, we went to Goodwill. We dropped stuff off. We, like, made a ton of donations. So we, like, cleared out our basement. I would also like to say we were in bed sleeping by no later than 7 p.m.
Well, I'm jealous of that also. I wish I could sleep like that. All right, so everyone had a good week this week? Good.
Super good.
Good mom? Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
I mean, it was a really nice weekend. Awesome. I mean, just relaxing and just
enjoying the outside before now.
The weather was wonderful.
Yeah.
For everyone who wants a weather update on Minnesota, it is currently
snowstorm.
Emily
it's like icy sleeting.
Emily is stuck at home because the roads are so bad. So welcome to Minnesota winter.
I
went out
and got a shovel today. I picked up my own shovel.
We bought a snow scraper today.
That's a big deal.
How Minnesotan of us.
Okay, moving on. Today's topic is birth and labor stories. Who wants to go first?
Why don't we start with you since you are the first mama?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, I mean, everyone's birth story, I feel like, is super different. I mean, I think we each have something to share, like on a scale of good to really bad. So
I think that's why we wanted to do this as one of our first episodes also, because
it kind of like prefaces us in the beginning of how we became moms. Yeah. You know, all of our unique experiences that we had.
Right. It's crazy that we all, you know, grew up the same, but in the end, we all have like very different stories when it comes to like our birth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I have
and just like our preferences too.
Yeah. And our preferences, you know, it's also different. Yeah. I think that's what makes being a mom so beautiful. I do. It's so crazy how like different.
Yeah.
And all of us were okay.
Yeah. I mean, our kids are alive.
Yeah.
Everything's good. So, I have a funny story leading up to when.
That's my favorite. I tell so many people this story.
Yeah, that's my favorite, too.
So,
I probably
exaggerate. When I was pregnant with Kennedy, we had a couple roommates
living
with us. I mean,
how old were you, too?
I was 22, almost 23 when I had Kennedy. I just wanted a kid young. It's fine. So we had two roommates living with us. One of them was Josh's friend / kind of brother. He's like an adopted brother, basically. And then the other one was a coworker. So they came home from a night of drinking. And of course, I was 38 weeks and 5 days pregnant. I was really near my due date. So they came home from a night of drinking super loud with our other friend. And they came home like right after bar close. So it was probably like 3 a.m. And they were so loud, like yelling. They broke our couch this night. So I literally was like blood boiling. I started texting Josh's mom and was like, when you get into town, you need to deal with these boys. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I mean, using harsher words than that. And then I was like, wait, it's 3 a.m. She's asleep. She's in Texas right now. I gotta cool it. Like, I'm gonna just deal with it myself. So I went down in my pajamas. I probably looked like shit because I was not sleeping at this point.
And you were 9 months pregnant.
And I was 9 months pregnant.
Yeah, let's just...
And so I go down and, like, two of them were already down in the basement. And they were, like, still yelling and screaming. And then Kobo was sitting there at the kitchen table eating. Dumbass. After clanking around pots and pans, and I go down and I'm like, Kobo, you cannot do this. Like, we are about to have a baby in this household. Let's not do it. And then I go to the top of the basement stairs and I start yelling at our two friends and I'm like, you got that? And neither of them spoke because I was super pissed. Like, in my voice.
You don't mess with an angry pregnant person.
You do
woman.
Not want to mess with an angry pregnant person.
I just want to make sure everyone gets this picture. Lauren is in her PJs at 3 a.m., 9 months pregnant, screaming at her husband's friends who are living with them.
And Josh is upstairs past, like, sound asleep.
Yeah, Josh is
like, does not wake up to any of this. I go back upstairs and my blood is still boiling. Well, then I was like, crap. Now, like, I just laid back down and now I have to go to the bathroom because that's what you do when you're pregnant. You just pee a lot. And so I went to the bathroom because I had the urge and then I, like, finished peeing and I didn't have the urge anymore. So I was, like, about to wipe, but, like, fluid was still coming out. Like, it was trickling. And I'm like, what the... And then it stopped, and I'm like, oh, maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it wasn't maybe my water breaking. And so I, well, because like, well, like right before that, like I had turned on my side and I heard a little pop in my belly.
You heard a pop?
Yeah, I heard a pop.
Oh my god!
Inside. And so then that's when like I went to the bathroom and, but like it wasn't like gushing water break like you see in the movies, obviously.
And which so, is exactly what I picture it to be.
Yeah. And then I like, I got back up and then I went to go lay back down and like nothing happened. And then all of a sudden I had contractions and they were like 10 minutes apart.
How did you know what a contraction was? Because that was, how
well,
did
like,
you know?
Did you have any Braxton Hicks? Like any tightening of like the belly or anything?
We'll talk
I
about
did,
it during
I guess
mine,
I didn't
but...
even realize okay. that was contractions.
Yeah, same. I didn't know.
See, and I like, didn't know at... either. Obviously this was my first yeah. baby. So were like, you... I just felt like, cause like, I felt like, it was just like the practice contractions where it was like tightening of the belly and then it would like release and like tighten.
You're like,
and
oh,
release.
This will go away.
Yeah. And I like, I was like, hey, I was just worked up. It's fine. Like, I'm going to calm back down. It's just my Braxton Hicks, like practicing whatever. And then it like didn't stop. And then by, I think it was like 5:30, Josh had woken up and I'm literally like standing on the side of the bed, like swaying, trying to like make my contractions stop
oh
in a way, you know, or like slow down. And I was like timing them. By the time he woke up, they were like 8 minutes apart. And I'm like,
wow.
Yeah. And he's like, he woke up and was like startled. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I think I'm in labor. Like, I have no idea what this is like, so
no,
I don't know what to compare it to.
Looked like at this moment. Was he petrified?
He was like, cool, awesome. He didn't know what to, I mean, he wasn't a huge help in the hospital either, to be honest, because he, it was his first time too, so like, he didn't know. And so then we drove to the hospital, and we got there by like 6:30, 7 o'clock, and we got checked in to triage, and they checked to see if it was amniotic fluid or if my water had broke. Because I was like, I don't think my water is broken yet.
Because like a waterfall didn't come down my leg, which is what I've seen in the
yeah,
movies.
Like I thought it was like when
oh,
you
exactly.
pee your pants.
Right.
And not to be graphic, but like when they checked me, that's when my water like officially broke.
Oh, so it actually hadn't broken.
Yeah, it actually
that.
Hadn't like it like leaked.
It like maybe leaked.
Yeah, it leaked. So like that pop was like my water breaking, but it like, didn't actually, it was like
yeah.
at a point where it like didn't leak. So gross, I know.
It's a natural thing.
But
it's so
then,
beautiful.
But then the nurse was, like, checking the little swab or whatever for amniotic fluid, and as I'm, like, my water broke on the table, and she didn't even realize that it had, like, broken after she checked me to see, like, how dilated I was or anything. And she
wait,
was,
how did she not realize, like,
because it she literally, like, she, like, checked me, took a little swab, and then, like, went to do her little test to see if it was amniotic fluid, and then, like, a second later, it popped after she was, like, already doing the testing.
Now,
and
did you
she,
feel just, like, this, like, crazy amount of relief from that? Because I felt like it was really a relieving feeling.
I literally felt like it was just, like, I don't know, peeing myself a little bit, but without, like, an urge of pee. Like, it was just, like, water trickling out of me. This is super gross. We need to stop this conversation.
No, I'm holding back because I want to share it during mine. And so I'm, like, trying really
Laura's
hard.
Laura's face is just like,
you know how hard it is for me not to cut into a conversation?
No.
Crying over here.
But then, yeah, and then I was, like, 3 centimeters dilated or something when I got, or no, maybe it was, like, 5, and then... Like a half hour later, I was 7 centimeters, and then...
When you were on your way, did you call anyone and tell them that...
I had filled out my whole check-in form beforehand, like, a couple weeks prior.
I'm saying, like, call your mom. Like, did you call your mom and say, like, hey, I'm on the way to the hospital?
I called her when I was checked into triage and, like, was officially, like, a go. Like, we're going
because
to the room.
Was your mom in the room?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With Kennedy, she was.
Yeah.
She
did
showed
your
up.
Dad, was your dad at work?
Yeah,
or what
I have
was?
A really cute story about my dad. So, my dad is not around anymore. He passed on last year. But my dad used to drive semi-trucks, and he used to deliver to the hospital all the time, so he knew the security and everything around there.
No.
And he literally triple-parked the semi in front of the hospital, came up to my hospital room, and was like, hey, princess, I'm here. And I'm like,
oh my God.
It, like, makes me emotional even thinking about it. But, aww. Yeah, I mean, he just stayed until I gave birth, and I'm always, like, crying. He stayed until like gave birth, and Kennedy was born at 11:18 a.m. And
so it was quick.
Yeah, it was a really quick labor.
And did you want to do it again?
Yeah, so it made me want to do it again. I checked into triage. I was like 5 centimeters, and then like a half hour later, I was 7 or 8. I was 7, and then like literally 5 minutes later, I was at 8.
So while you're in there, and I was Josh, like, and your mom, were they in the room the whole time? It was just the two of them.
Yes, it was just the two of them in the room. My dad stepped out because he didn't want to be. You want to see all that? That was a lot for him.
My princess doesn't look like a princess right now.
And then they stayed in the room the whole time. And like 8 centimeters is when I got my epidural because they were like, "Do you want one? We're really close to 10 centimeters." And I was like, "Give me the freaking epidural because I am in so much pain right now." I really wasn't in that much pain until I reached 8 centimeters. And like when they sat me up to get the epidural, I literally had a contraction that made my whole leg shake, like tremor. Like it was crazy. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And then I got the epidural and I was feeling pretty good. And then I pushed for about 45 minutes and then kind of.
So with an epidural, with the fact that you had like just gotten it right before you started pushing, did you feel like that made it harder to push, or like could you still tell when you needed to push?
No, because I could still feel the pressure of Kennedy's shoulders.
I feel like that's so different for everyone though, Emily, because I've heard a lot that you can't tell.
My sister had an epidural with my oldest niece, and she said she couldn't feel when she was contracting, so they would have to tell her when she was contracting because with the monitors muscles. And I could tell because I could feel kind of these shoulders, like, down there. And, like, I could feel the pressure of, like, her about to come out. So that was all I could feel. Like, I could feel myself contracting, but it wasn't, like, a painful contraction. I could just feel the tightening of it.
It was, like, a cramp, kind of?
Yeah, or? it was, like, a slight cramp and then, like, a pressure of her shoulder.
But the fact that you could feel that, like, that probably made it all so much more, like...
It did, and I actually, it was a much calmer birth compared to Houston's because I didn't have a plan going into it. All I knew was I wanted an epidural based on what my sisters and, like, everyone around me.
So you went into it knowing that you wanted an epidural?
Yeah.
And you were just holding out until, basically, the pushing? Is that what it was?
Like, as long as you could?
I had told them, like, right when I checked in that I wanted an epidural, and that was, like, my only thing for birth plan. And then, like, I think they were pretty backed up with an anesthesiologist.
Oh, yes. Like, something was in the air.
So, yeah. So he got to the room when I was 8 centimeters. And then they, like, kind of gave me the choice and were like, "Do you want this?" And I was like, "Absolutely." Because I am not going to survive this.
So when you get an epidural, then you're bedridden, right?
Yeah, like to until a certain after it wears off.
Because they have you hooked up then, right, Em?
Well, yeah, you're hooked up to an IV, but also, like, it takes, I mean, everybody's body, like, processes how quickly it wears off, so, like...
Yeah, I mean, I had the skin-to-skin for, like, a couple hours.
Oh, no, I'm talking about during labor.
Mine went pretty quick after I got it.
Like, if you're someone who wants to be able to get up and, like, do different positions and stuff, like, they're going to probably tell you you're not going to want an epidural because you're not going to be able to. I mean, they physically have to, like, lift your legs and, like, turn you into a...
That's how dead your legs are?
Yeah, I could not feel my legs for a good, like, 3 or 4 hours after.
You don't even know it.
And then, like, right after birth, they have you, like, try peeing by yourself, like, to make sure you can still go to the bathroom normally. So they brought me to the bathroom. Like, they had to help me, like, hobble over to the bathroom because I could barely feel my legs. And then they were like, "Okay, go to the bathroom." And I was like, "I literally can't feel if I'm going to the bathroom."
So
and they were like,
"Am I?"
Yeah, I'm like, "So am I going?" And they were like, "Yep, you're going just fine." And I'm like, "Great, can't feel a thing."
That is so weird.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Such a weird feeling.
And then... Houston's is a lot shorter and normal, and there's a funny thing in there.
I still tell that story as well.
So, with Houston, I wasn't working at the time, and so, like, Kennedy and I were just, like, hanging out at home, and we went on, a really long walk. We went on, like, a 2-mile walk.
So, with the second one, did you know more quickly, like, did you know when you felt, like, the contraction, like, a birth contraction?
I honestly thought they were, Houston came at 38 weeks, 4 days, so he beat Sissy by 1 day.
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, I have very timely babies.
That's insane.
So then I had contractions on and off all day, and then around, like,
but did you know what
8
it was?
O'clock. Yeah, I mean, I knew, like, what, because I thought they were practice at first because they were so irregular throughout the day, and then...
And you, like, still decided, I'm going to go on a walk?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to kick it in.
That's what
I wanted
to,
like, kickstart it.
I was so nervous that I'd be on a walk, and all of a sudden I'm, like... crazy.
All of a sudden, Kennedy is delivering a baby.
I mean, I definitely had to pause a few times when we got close to the house because they were getting a little bit more intense. But they were still really irregular. Like, they were, like, 20 minutes apart. Like, it wasn't anything crazy. And then we went over to our neighbor's house, and they kind of just kind of slowed down. And they had just had a baby 10 days before that. So I was holding their baby, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't wait. Like, this is going to be so fun. And then went home, and around 8 o'clock, my contractions started to get more regular. Like, I think they were, like, 12 minutes apart. And then I, like, called my mom. I was like, just so you know, my contractions are about 12 minutes apart right now, so expect Kennedy sometime within the night. And she was like, okay, we'll stay up.
So that was part of your plan, was to drop Kennedy at your parents' on the way to the hospital?
Yeah, okay. So then we were driving over to my parents' house, and I couldn't get out of the truck. I was like, oh, I'm in labor right now. Like, I cannot move. And so I, like, kissed Kennedy goodbye, dropped her off. It was, like, midnight. We got to the hospital around 12:30, and Josh wanted to stop for Burger King on the way.
Oh, my God.
And I absolutely told him no, because my contractions were, like, 3 minutes apart.
How did that conversation go? Was he like, it's not that far off the exit?
Well, because, like, Burger King is, like, right across the street from the hospital. So he was like, hey, do you want some Burger King? And I was like, I am literally in labor right now, so do not speak again.
That's so great.
No way. And he was like, okay, I'll take that as a no then.
So, like, I was like, oh, really, you think?
So, you sure you don't want a Whopper?
Yeah. So we, like, got into the hospital, checked in. They were having a hard time finding a vein to get fluid.
What do you mean fluid? What are you talking about?
Like, I don't even know what... Emily, you can answer Miss Nurse, because...
Well, I don't necessarily know as much for, like...
I think it's just, like fluid birth, to keep you hydrated.
Like, oh, yeah, so they give you, like, an IV?
Give you, like, IV fluids.
Yeah.
Do they do that every time you...
Because you're at a certain point, like, they don't really want you intaking fluids orally. Because if you were to end up having to have a C-section, they don't want you to have a lot of secretions in your mouth and, like, in your stomach, because you're higher risk for aspirating, like, vomiting and then aspirating.
All right. Okay. Got it. So, yeah, I couldn't get an IV.
So, that's that.
So, I couldn't get an IV because I couldn't find any of my veins. And then they were trying to, like, break my water. And
wait, so your water wasn't broken? You just knew that you had really...
It wasn't broken, but, I mean, my contractions were literally, like, 3 minutes apart. And I was dilated to, like, a 7 when I got to the hospital. So, like, I knew it was going to happen. So then I was in the room, and the doctor showed up, and she tried breaking my water and with the little crochet hook.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, it's just not breaking, so I'm guessing your water either dissipated or it broke already. And I'm like, it probably dissipated, or I, like, lost it over the course of a couple
days. Like, it just slowly, like, you slowly lost it.
Yeah, it's kind of scary, because, like, that's what happened to me when my mom was pregnant with me, was my amniotic fluid just dissipated. So I was born a month early. So I don't know how long he was swimming around in there without any amniotic fluid. So I'm glad he came when he did.
Yeah.
It's interesting, like,
yeah,
because... I feel like it would have had to happen in between, like, when your last ultrasound was up to the point of having Houston, because I feel like that's something they would have otherwise, like, told you that they were noticing.
Well, I only had 2 ultrasounds. So I had it at my 8-week appointment.
But even, like, the check, right? Like, they would be able to tell. Remember, they, like, measure your belly. And so if your belly reduced in size,
I mean, I was right on the whole time.
Interesting.
So I don't know.
That's interesting.
So they had to call an ultrasound technician to come in and find a vein.
So, like, how many times did you get poked?
I got poked probably 6 or 7 times.
Wow. But at that point, it's, like, the least of your worries.
And, like, I need something. Just poke, like, I was like, am I going to be able to get an epidural? And they were like, no, you're at 9 centimeters now. And I'm like, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how this is going to go. And the doctor came back in and was like, let's do this. And I was like, huh, I'm terrified.
Did you find your doctor that you had appointments with?
It's the same doctor that I had appointments with. And it's actually the same exact doctor that delivered me. So it was my mom's doctor.
Wow.
Isn't that so weird?
That's cool.
I mean,
that's super cool.
Yeah, I thought it was really special. And then she came back in, and then it was go time. And I felt that ring of fire. That's for sure. And Josh will claims I sounded like a pterodactyl when I was pushing.
That's such a Josh thing to say, isn't it? Like,
because I could feel everything. Obviously, I didn't have an epidural. Then the doctor, like, politely was like, Your screaming is taking away from your pushing. And Josh looks at me and goes, that's her being polite, but she's really saying shut up. Yeah. And I was about to punch him right then and there.
Oh, my God.
I love that so much.
Well, and that's so hard, too, because, like, your plan was that you wanted an epidural. So, like, you're having to change
yeah,
your whole
he,
mindset.
We checked into triage at 12:30. He was born at 2:49. Like, it happened so Holy fast. God. I pushed I for a half hour,
Emily,
and that's it.
I think that we, like, all of our girlfriends went out to dinner. Nice. So, we went to Katie's, and everyone was like, wait, you guys, like, I think Lauren may have gone to the hospital last night, but, like, I think you, like, knew or something, but we were like, no, she couldn't have given birth because she was posting on Facebook at, like, 11:30 at night, and there's no way really? That she was posting and, like...
Yeah, you were posting, like, way late, and then all and of a sudden
you were like, posting,
later
like,
told us that you had him at, like, 2.
Yeah,
like,
we were, like,
oh,
trying
yeah,
to...
Oh, yeah, because I texted the group and was like, sorry, ladies, won't be making it to dinner tonight,
yeah.
And, like, had a picture of Houston.
We were so confused how it happened because we were like, she was literally, like, commenting nice things. She wasn't like yelling at people on Facebook. She was like commenting like nice things, sharing nice things at like 11:30 at night. So at what point did she
I
give birth?
I must have been in a really good mood at that point. I don't know.
It was just very impressive.
Well, thanks. But yeah.
You're a Wonder Woman.
Thanks. But then like after birth, it was totally different than when I had an epidural because I could feel my legs. I could walk around. Like I could have done jumping jacks if I wanted to. Not that I wanted to because that sounds like torture. But I mean, I, like, could feel myself going to the bathroom, and all was well. And
like,
it was totally different.
Like, comparing the two, now that you've had both experiences, like, what do you think you would do if you were to have a third one?
I don't know. Like,
it's kind
I don't
of
know
nice
if I...
because you've done both, and so you don't feel like you need to, like, go without.
Like, I liked the fact with the epidural that it was, like, really calm, but I also had my mom there, so it might have just been that calming factor, but I also did tell my mom to shut up during pushing, because she was like, you can do it, you can do it, and I was like, stop. I just, like, looked at her, closed my hand in her face, and said, stop. Because I was getting really annoyed.
It's like one time you can yell it.
I know. And... Well, and like that's what my doctor told me. She was like, you're the queen today, so you tell us. And I was like, I love that. I was like, thank God.
You're like, can I bring that into my everyday life?
I know. Seriously. I mean, still kind of happens sometimes. Sometimes. We'll see. But yeah. So who's next?
So do you, wait, did you decide which one you would rather do?
I don't know. I mean, it was just totally different. So I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't because I know what to expect. And, like, I thought it was an easier healing process. Like, I mean, I could use my legs right away. I could get up and do stuff if I wanted right out of a hospital bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's hear yours.
So mine is a little bit different in Charlotte is my first and only. And I was completely not ready at all. We had really, like, no birth plan, no anything. And I think it was our 36-week appointment, and the doctor made us go get more tests because they said that she wasn't growing at all, and they were worried about her size, and they weren't sure if that was due to, you know, just, like, hereditary stuff, like we were small babies, or if it was, like, she wasn't getting enough nutrients. And so we had to go and do, like, a 3D ultrasound, and they, like, measured her that way, and...
I think that's something I would, like... If I were to have a third, that's something that I would want. I would, like, want to pay for. It's, like, a 3D ultrasound.
It was so weird because we could, like, see Leland's nose. And, like, we could... It was weird.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
Yeah, I think that's, like, that
and looking
would be
at
super
it
fun
after
to see.
We had her, it was, like...
This is true.
Yeah, it was so weird. Anywho, so we got all that stuff, and they, like, confirmed that she was smaller than she should be, and so they scheduled a...
An induction
for us. So I think 2 weeks early?
That sounds right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think you were due, like, end of March, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she ended up coming on March 16th. So we walked in, so... I mean, we had all of the stuff ready, like we had our birth bag or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
But of course, we were late walking into our induction appointment. So we walked in.
Did they turn
in.
You away?
No. But oh, we walked good. In and Leland and I, we had no idea what any, like I didn't look up like birthing
no
videos. Like I did one class, like one day long class, which I like, you know, zoned out of within 10 minutes. We just had like no idea about anything. And so we walked in, I'm, like, carrying my, like, Vera Bradley bag, and, like, you know, like, had my cute outfit for the baby. Yeah. And, like, I have my outfit, size 2 for after I deliver, like, and...
Oh my gosh, I remember texting you about the after you deliver outfit, and I was like, trust me on this, you're gonna want sweatpants, you're gonna want to, like, conceal that diaper.
That's the pathetic
and you're like
stuff.
You're like, no, I'm gonna wear this dress, this maxi dress, and I was like, we're not Kate Middleton, okay?
That's the stuff that I was concerned about. I wasn't concerned about if my child latched and, like, was getting her nutrients. I was concerned about, like, what my picture was gonna look like after I gave birth.
You know what? Teach their own.
So, oh, but we walked in, and the nurses, and I don't know if the nurses, like, say this to everyone to make you feel good, but it definitely made me feel good. They were like, oh, so Lauren Leland, they're like, is this, like, your 3rd or 4th? And I was like, no, this is our first baby.
Because you were acting so, like, casual.
Yeah, and they were like, wow, you guys are so casual. Like, I would have assumed, like, you, this was definitely one of many children for you. And they're like, oh, okay, well, that's great. So that actually made me feel really good. But then... we go into the room, we were late, so then the doctor, like, couldn't do it for another hour or something. So she came back, and she gave me my induction, is that what you call it, Emily?
Like, you got, like, hooked up to the meds, like, Pitocin and all
that. Yeah, at 8-something. And my contractions started, like, coming, like, really quickly.
Yeah.
And it was nice because it was scheduled, so my sister had flown in. And my little sister was, like, on her way or whatever. And we had promised that we weren't going to have them come until whatever time. And then we were also going to kick them out at a certain time. Like,
yeah.
Neither of us wanted anyone but us in the room.
Yeah.
When I,
like, when you were actually, like, pushing and stuff.
Yeah. And so my sisters and my mom and my dad ended up coming. And I was, like, I don't know. I was, like, walking around. Like, it wasn't bad. And then it got really bad, like, within probably 10 minutes. Like, it was, really? Yeah, it was, like.
Like, super, like, intense contractions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it went from, like, 0 to 100. So, at first, I wasn't dilating quickly at all. And so, I was, like, on the medicine ball and, like, considering doing tub birth or whatever, you know, like, all of this different stuff. Just, like, walking around the room. It wasn't bad at all. And so, the doctor would come in, I think, like, after 2 hours or something and, like, check where you were. And she checked and she kept on checking. And I would go from, like, because I wasn't dilated at all when I went in. Like, okay. I wasn't dilated at all. I had, like, lost no fluid, but they, like, wanted to get her out. It wasn't like, okay, you're not dilated, you're going home. It was like, this is happening today kind of thing. And so I can't remember at what point she popped my popped my water, but she came in to break the water with the, it's literally a crocheting needle.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff, like, nobody.
Literally what you can compare it to.
Nobody prepares you for it. It was so
really weird.
Up. Like,
Houston had little scratches on the top of his head after.
Are you
Because I didn't have any water.
When she, I'm thinking it's going to be like, I don't know. Like, I'm an accountant. We use Excel tools. Like, I don't know. I expect the doctors to have doctor tools too. And she pulls out this, like, crochet needle. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And she tried popping it and it wouldn't. And she, like, continued to try popping it.
Did Charlotte have scratches on her head too?
No. Oh. And it wouldn't. So she left. And I was, like, that was the first time that I, like, felt pain within, like, being pregnant. Was, like, I was, like, that was, like, the worst part of everything. And then, so she left, and she's, like, all right, this one's gonna take a while. And I, like, started to feel a lot of contractions. At one point, like, during this, like, interim time, it was cool. I didn't know they gave you, like, a paper trail of your contractions. All I can tell you is this did happen because my sisters and my mom were in the room. Leland looked at my contraction at one point, and I was, like, peeled, like, head, like, touching it. Like, I was just, like, throwing up, like, so hurt. And Leland looks at the contraction and goes, Laura, actually, that one wasn't that bad.
Oh, my
and
God.
I looked at him, and I was like, are you? And my mom was just like, Leland, let's just try to keep our mouth shut. Like, at this point, like, let's not tell Laura what's bad and what's like, literally, and you know, like, was so great in the whole thing, but, like, he wasn't trying to make me feel
bad. He was trying to be an asshole about it. He was just, like...
No, not at all.
I don't think he, like, meant it in a bad way. I think he, like, was, like, talking up, like, come or on, maybe Laura, even, like, you
talking,
got this.
Yeah, like, maybe even talking out loud. Like, maybe he was, like, thought this, came out, shouldn't have said it.
Yeah.
I regret that.
He did say it. I almost killed him.
So
but then, so the doctor checked me, and they checked me, and I was, like, 5 centimeters. And then I got, like, it was, like, a lot of pain really quick. And so I threw up, like, from the pain, like, during contractions.
I did with Kennedy, too.
And at that point, I was, like, because I guess one thing to say is I went into it being, like, I don't want an epidural, but if it comes to it, I'll get one. There was no hard feeling, like, hard yes or no on any side. And I was, like, yeah. If I'm in the pain, I can handle it. I don't mind getting one. And so after throwing up, I'm like, F this. Like, this is the worst pain in the whole entire world. How does anyone do this? And so I asked for an epidural and they were like, okay, we'll order you one. But like, depending on where you're at, we're not sure if you're going to be able to get one. I'm like, I don't care. Put it on the books. I want the epidural. She's like, okay. And so the doctor came in to check me for the epidural. Cause I guess they have to like check you to see how many centimeters
you're yeah.
So they came in and checked me. I was 10. And they were like, wow. Yeah, you can't get an epidural. I'm like, oh my God, you went
from 5 to 10 quick.
Yeah, I went from like 5. The doctor came in and then 10 within like an hour and a half. Wow. It was, yeah. And she was like, we're pushing now. She's like, I'm staying here. We're pushing. Like, we're calling the other nurses in. I'm like, wait, I'm not so ready.
Was your whole family in the room
yeah.
then still?
Yeah, everyone was in the room.
That's crazy.
I don't know what I would do if I had another, but, like, I loved it. I loved having them there. It was, like, my own little cheer squad. Like,
aww.
They were...
Were they there the whole time?
So, my dad left at that point when, okay. like, the pushing started. My dad was like, all right, I'm gonna, like, go sit in the hallway. But, yeah, my mom and my sisters and Leland were all in the room. Oh. And they...
That's so special, like, though.
You guys know my sisters. We're hard on each other. We're not... I don't know. We're not always kind to each other. We give each yeah. other a hard time. And so that's kind of what I was expecting, which was the reason that I, like, didn't want them in the room because I thought they were going to be like, this is gross. Like, Laura, like, ew.
Mm-hmm.
They were so supportive and so helpful and just everything that I could have ever wanted in, like, sisters and, like, mom and aww. Leland. It was, like, the perfect team of us delivering, yeah. which is how it's been after, too. Like, we all take care of
Yeah.
Charlotte is a very, like... taken care of by everyone in the yeah. family. They were there. I pushed for 28 minutes, which I always tell myself wow. now during workouts, like if I'm on a run, I'm like, Laura, you pushed for 28 minutes. You can like, run yeah. for 28 minutes. So that's about the length of my runs now.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, so I pushed for 28 minutes. I didn't think I could do it. I thought they were going to...
somehow have to, like, rip her out of you.
Yeah. Like, I was like, give me a C-section now. This is impossible. But then they gave me a mirror... and I was like, absolutely not. That's disgusting. I don't want that in my brain ever. And like now I have no idea. I cannot remember it. But they were like, it's really going to help you. And I was like, no. And the doctor's like, you need the mirror. I'm like, okay, I'll take the mirror.
Okay, fine.
And for me, I was really worried about pooping. And I know that they say like everyone poops or whatever, but I was like, I don't want to poop. So
especially with like 4 people in the room.
Yeah. And I just like, I just wasn't going to poop. That was like my thing. And so finally they gave me the mirror and I was like, they're like, you can see your crown. And I'm like, I can, but I feel like I'm going to poop. And the doctor was like, if you feel like you're going to poop, that's what you should be feeling. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yes. Like, oh, cool. And in yeah. that push, like, I pushed Charlotte out. In
that's the next amazing.
Push. It was fun. Not fun. It was not fun. But it was, like, so cool. It was so
cool. How cool that you got to, like, watch all of that unfold. Like, I think that's so awesome.
But, like, you had a lot of postpartum healing to do, right?
Because yeah. Like, okay, so I tore a lot. Yeah. And so Leland said... that was one thing that Leland said was really cool. I didn't even know the doctor was, like, down there stitching me up.
Yeah. Isn't it weird?
Yeah. The doctor yeah. stitched me up.
Well, because, like, you have to push out the placenta after.
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
Mm-hmm. So what happened with me... oh, first, let me just throw this in there. When they say you're pushing for 10 seconds, according to my pushing charts, I was not... I was pushing for a lot longer than that. Because really? We had March Madness on. Because Charlotte was born in March. And so March Madness is on. We're watching basketball. Like, well, all this is going down.
Oh, my gosh.
And the doctor is like, push 10 seconds. 10 seconds is all you have to push. Yeah, and I'm watching the shot clock or, like, the clock go down. And I'm like, 9, 8, 7. Okay, I'm still pushing. And guess what? We're at 30 seconds. Maybe not 30 wow. seconds. But I like, that was the one time I was like, turn the effing channel. I cannot watch this clock anymore. Like, this is stupid. So Charlotte was birthed to the Spanish channel because I had no idea how many seconds were passing. But so that was great. Afterwards, that's another thing because I was not prepared for yeah. birth at all. Yeah. No idea you had to push out the placenta. Like, I'm exhausted. Like,
see, I remember, like, holding my kids, like, skin to skin, and then them being like, okay, push out the placenta. And I was just like,
are you kidding?
It just, like, came out. Uh-uh. Yeah. Wow. Like, it was, like, a super easy, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I was holding Charlotte, and maybe it's because she wasn't ready. I got induced, so I don't know if that's more common. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
But they were like, all right, you have to, and I was, like, exhausted. I'm like, I can't. And they're like, it's really quick, it's just fluid, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I'm like, okay. And I tried doing it, and I guess, I don't know what happened, but I started bleeding a lot. Mm. And so they ended up having to rush me down to the OR.
Yeah.
And I was, like, I was not on drugs at all, but I was, like, so out of it that as I'm, like, laying in the bed. Well, it's
all of the adrenaline going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah.
As I'm, like, getting pushed into the OR, I was complimenting the staff on how clean the room was, and they're like, yeah.
it's the OR.
This is where we operate
this
on
this is a
people.
Sterile it environment.
Was, but it was, like, so white, and I was just like, wow, if I could only keep my house this clean. So, yeah, so they, I like, the whole, like, countdown from 10 or whatever, I passed out, they, like, delivered my placenta. The doctor, like, scraped it out of me. And then I remember waking up and they were trying to get breast milk from me because mm-hmm. Charlotte was upstairs. And like, you have to remember when she was delivered, she was like 5 pounds. And so yeah. she was really small. And so they were trying to give her nutrients, but because I went under, I couldn't do the breastfeeding right away. Mm-hmm. And then, so when I came out of it, I then had lost so much blood and stuff that they, like, got a teeny tiny little bit out of me and, like, brought that back. So it's kind of, I mean, it's different, and it was kind of cool because Leland was actually, like, the first person to give Charlotte food yeah. outside of the womb because he had to take care of her. And also kind of cool because they give the baby to the mother usually, but because they had to rush me out,
yeah.
like, Leland had to take her. Yeah. And my parents said they were, because my parents were there at that point.
Yeah.
And they said, the switch in him from normal not that Leland he was like party crazy yeah. person, but like, yeah, neither of us were ready to be parents yeah. when we were. And they were like, the switch when he saw his daughter for the first time was God. Insane.
That makes me want to cry.
Like, I know, that's still so like, sweet. It's something special that those two will always have that doesn't happen a lot. So like,
definitely.
I got pulled away. But, like, when that happened, he, like, completely stepped in and was such a perfect dad that, like, he'll be good.
But that's,
yeah.
like, a moment he'll remember forever, too.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
That's so sweet.
And so that was really cool.
Yeah.
I woke up, like, from being put under, and I saw apple juice, and I was like, I want 3 of those boxes. And they were like, you want 3? And I was like, I'm very thirsty. I want 3. And they're like, all right, you can have 3. I'm like, wow, this is real. Like, I can't. So I like came up to meet my daughter, like sipping my apple juice box. But so that's my birth story. It was a long recovery because I was low on blood. I think you're supposed to lose a quart, and I lost 2.5 or something. And so
oh, wow.
it was like a long time of me regaining like my regular self.
Yeah.
And that took, I in the end wasn't able to breastfeed Charlotte because of that. And it was, you yeah. know, but when I look back on it, all I think about is, like, the good.
Oh, for sure.
I'm not ready to, like, jump in the saddle and do it again right now. But I can say that it was, like, a crazy, weirdly perfect, wonderful experience.
Yeah.
In every
sense.
Isn't
it so funny? Emily has, like, a way different experience than us because you had a cesarean, so.
Yeah, so mine, I remember being at, it was my 38-week appointment, and I was just, like, incredibly uncomfortable at that point, like, super swollen. Like, when I got checked at 38 weeks, I was already, like, 6 or 7 centimeters dilated at that point.
Wow.
And, like, I don't remember, like, how effaced I was, but, like, it was already, like, progressing, and my doctor's like, well, at this point, like, you're super uncomfortable. The chances of you having the your baby naturally at this point versus us inducing you are, like, kind of, it'll probably fall around the same time, but because you're uncomfortable, let's just schedule you to be induced. That felt good because I'm a planner, and I just, the unknown of, like, when I was going to go into labor, like, totally freaked me out.
One interesting thing, though, is we had the same doctor.
Yes.
So it's interesting that we both got induced.
Yeah.
Yes. Too.
Like, if that is a doctor's preference type of
thing. I feel like it must be to an extent.
You know?
So she said, because I was already, like, progressing so much, like, I was already 7 centimeters. She's like, you're already, like, showing the signs that your body's, like, ready for this. So she's like, it won't take a whole lot, like, once we induce you, like, as far as, like, the medications and all that, for you to, like, you know, actively laboring. So I was scheduled. I ended up getting induced. It was the 10th of September. So I went in on the 10th, which was, like, only 2 days before my due date, because I was due on the 12th. So not, like, any crazy, like, early. There wasn't anything, like, why I had to be induced early. It just was pure comfort and preference. So I went in, I got induced. They hooked me up. I got there at, like, 7. But I got hooked up to my medications probably, like, 8 o'clock, got checked. By that point, I was maybe, like, 8 centimeters dilated. And then I remember, I think it was about noon when the doctor came in and actually broke my water, which, yes, that was, like, literally so uncomfortable.
Did yours break the first time?
What was that?
Did yours break right away, the first
time? Yeah, it broke right away. So I was super thankful for that because, like, yeah, I was super uncomfortable. And at that point, I was maybe having, like, minor contractions. So, like, I'm at 8 centimeters, but, like, still, I would say that my contractions felt more like the Braxton Hicks. Like, they weren't bad. But honestly, as soon as she broke my water, it's, like, it started progressing quick. Like, I was just super uncomfortable at that point. And I knew I wanted an epidural, but I wanted to kind of wait it out. Like, at that point, it was looking like it was still going to be a while until I was going to push. So I was like, all right, I'm going to hold off. And then eventually 5, maybe 6 o'clock.
So you got induced at 7 a.m. and now it's 5 p.m.?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's so a long
time. So then I requested my epidural. And of course, all the anesthesiologists that do the epidurals were, like, pulled into emergency C-sections and stuff at that point. So they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a while. And at that point, I'm, like, in excruciating pain.
Oh, my gosh.
So I had to wait, so they gave me IV fentanyl, and immediately I felt just like I was on top of the world for, like, a very short period of time. And then eventually the anesthesiologist came in and I got my epidural, and at that point I was able to rest pretty comfortably. Like, they would help me change my positions. My parents were there, Trevor was there, and I want to say it was like 9 o'clock that they came in and checked me, and they're like, oh, yep, looks like it's time for you to push. And at that point, my doctor wasn't there or anything, so I was just going to be pushing with the nurses.
Is that scary, like, if your doctor's not there and just pushing with nurses? Like, is that, because, like, you kind of rely on your doctor, I feel like, to, like, be that person.
Honestly, like, I guess I didn't know any differently, so I guess it didn't really, like, make me anxious. But, like, the hard part for me, I think, was that I was with I had two nurses at this point, like, one in training and then, like, one that had been there a while. And so, like, throughout the whole process of, like, me pushing, they both, like, were not able to decide, like, how I should be pushing. So it was a lot of, like, back and forth of, like, oh, you should be holding it this, or, like, pushing this way, or you should be in this position. So that part was kind of overwhelming. And, I mean, they're like, yeah, typically we don't really have someone push for more than, like, usually, I mean, it's, like, within an hour you're going to be done.
How long were you pushing?
I ended up pushing for almost 3 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
And at that point, I'm not really making any progress. And I'm just, like, incredibly uncomfortable because my epidural is, like, really starting to wear off at this point. My doctor ends up getting there, and she checks me, and she's like, well, we have a couple different options. She's like, you can keep trying to push and see if we get anywhere. She's like, basically, Marn was, like, stuck. Like, she wasn't going to be coming out. She wasn't going to get past my, like, pelvis. And but she's like, we can also have you try and push, and like we can use a vacuum at the same time, so we can try that. Otherwise, she's like, I highly recommend a C-section at this point, just because it's not looking like she's gonna fit. We can try the other measures, but you're already like super uncomfortable. You've been laboring and pushing for 3 hours. You're exhausted. And so at that point, I'm like, just, you know, super defeated. That was not my plan to have a C-section, obviously, and super uncomfortable, super exhausted. So I was like, all right, whatever, I'll do a C-section. So I agreed to that. You know, I'm like sobbing because I'm like so tired and exhausted. Did not want a C-section.
And for you, it was just you and Trevor in the room, right?
No, at that point, my parents are, well, no, that at that point, yeah, it is just Trevor. So my parents come back into the room, like before I get, or leave, just like, you know, my dad's like wanting to make sure I'm okay. And he's like, he had to like leave because I'm sobbing. And it just was like hard on both my parents to see me like that. So I get wheeled down and then they try and give me another epidural to rerun the line for my C-section. And that's not working. And so, like, I'm not numb at this point. So they're like feeling around. You. They're like, can you feel this? Can you feel this? And I'm like, yeah, I can feel like you're touching on my stomach. So, then they're like, all right, that'd well, it looks so like we're going to have to put you under because your epidural is not going to work for this anymore. So
why that is was that? Like, why does that happen?
Honestly, just depends on placement. The epidural like sits in a certain part of your spine and like it could have moved at that point. Like, just for whatever reason, after they reran it a second time, like, it just wasn't working. And so they're like, all right, well, we're going to have to put you under general anesthesia, which was, like, scary because, yeah, again, like, I'm already, like, not getting to see my child be born the way I wanted to with a vaginal delivery. And then on top of that, they're like, oh, and Trevor can't be in the room. So, like, he can't see my child be born now. So that's, like,
that's really hard. You know,
I'm like crying like throughout this whole thing, like prior to them putting me under because Trevor can't be there. I can't see it. Like, it's just not at all what I had in my mind. And like, I've imagined like birth for like ever. Like, that's a process that like, unlike a lot of people, like I've been super excited to experience all of that. So like, it just was super devastating to me. And so anyways, like I have my C-section, I get wheeled out, and I wake up, and I'm sure, like, you were, like, I just was, like, so out of it, like, I was, like, what just happened? Oh, I think I had my baby, like, I have no idea. And then I had to be down in the
recovery room
for, like, 2 hours, so I hadn't seen Martin for, like, 2 hours, and that was really hard because like you just had your baby, like, all you want to do is see your brand new baby. And but I got transitioned to, like, two different recovery areas. So I like went into one that was like right after having C-section, and then I got transferred to another area of whatever post-op. And at that point, then when I'd been in there a while, they brought Marin in to try and see if she would latch, which was like the best thing in the world to like have my daughter finally. But even still, like, I was still kind of out of it. So it just like, and I'm like delirious. It's like, it was like 3 a.m. at this point. I hadn't had any sleep. I was like so tired. But then we eventually got back up to our room at like 4, and I just cuddled her like all night. And it was wonderful. So like after that, it was good. But then I also ended up with preeclampsia. So my blood pressure was just like all over the place, incredibly high. So I ended up being in the hospital for like 5 extra days, which was not great either. But I will say, like, kind of the same situation as you, Laura, like, it was super cool that Trevor got to be the first one to, like, hold Marin and have his time with her, and, like, looking back, like, seeing pictures of him holding her for the first time, and, like, him changing her diaper and all that, like, it's super sad that I wasn't there for all of it, but it was, like, so, even just, like, through a picture, I can just see, like, just this, like, joy that I've never seen in him before. And it was just, I mean, amazing. But I think, like, just kind of tying all of our births, like, together and all of our stories, it's just cool because all of us had very different situations. We all, you know, labored and delivered our children in very different ways. And I feel like none of us would do it differently at this point.
Yeah.
It wasn't always like our dream way of like having a baby or what we envisioned, but I feel like that's the nature of all of it, is the unexpected might happen, but like at the end you're still having your beautiful baby.
Wow. I just, like, it's so crazy that we all have such beautiful, unique stories, but we wouldn't have it any other way, I don't think. Right?
No, I wouldn't go back.
Definitely not.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. Well,
find us on Instagram at the Listen to Your Mom podcast.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Thanks for listening.
Now,
go listen to your mom.